Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's the happenings?
The happening is this is deja vu because we just recorded like 10 minutes and we had to scrub the whole thing because it sucked and then the computer turned off and it's going to be one of those days. But welcome to episode 262 of the Groom Pod, recorded on July 12th in freezing cold Snohomish, Washington and steamy hot Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. Speaking of The Absorber towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And The Absorber towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. Barbara, the heat came on. The heat came on this morning. It's horrible. I can't believe how cold it is.
I can't understand that either, you know? I guess we're further away from each other than we would think. It is so damn hot here. You know, I don't normally, this is typical, I don't normally complain until July, and then I just get so miserable. You know, my face is sweating all day long. My neck is sweating all day long. I don't really like to sweat unless it's like salsa dancing. I mean, this is unproductive. This is unproductive perspiration, you know, just sitting here. You know, I have to wear a headband all the time, because otherwise it all just runs, the sweat runs into my eyes and it stings and, you know, and everything sticks to me and the dog hair sticks to the clothing, which sticks to me. And, yikes, you know, like, it's bad. So it would seem to me that we would be on the opposite side of the globe to have that much opposition, but no, you're just like right up there practically next door.
Well, you know, we've been totally on the forefront of closing things down for the virus. I think that our governor has just made a phone call and they closed summer down. That's the way it's working. You know?
Lost your summer to the virus. Whoa, man. Well, I think your summer came here and doubled up on me.
They even canceled the fairs. We're not even having any fairs. Nothing.
Yeah, we're not having. They canceled our fair. Yeah, we didn't have our fair this year. And, you know, I remember when I was a 4-H kid, that was something I so looked forward to, the fair. Oh, man, it's because, you know what? Because we kind of run wild at the fair. You know?
I can relate.
We would sleep in the barn with our project animal, be it a calf or I had lambs, and we would sleep in the barn unsupervised. Well, maybe there was some old guy asleep up front, but we would slip out, we would party. I mean, it wasn't anything bad in those days. It was just mischief and not having adult supervision, you know, and it was just, you know, like, so we were on our own and we were being adultish in some ways and totally childish in other ways, you know, and it was a rare opportunity to be with your peers in that kind of a basis, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think any hanky-panky went on, but it would these days. But we didn't. That was a few years before we started fooling around. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah, we used to go out there as soon as we could drive, and that was more teenage mischief, which included alcohol and smoking weed and making out and eating stuff we weren't supposed to and coming home late, maybe catching a concert, because I never got to do the 4-H thing at all. I only got to watch it from the other side, but it meant just as much running around in mischief as it did for you guys. So I made it through another week of house call grooming, hauling my stuff in and out. And boy, I'll tell you, it makes a big difference how you organize your stuff, how many trips in and out you go to get into the houses. First of all, the house that I used as my home base had the bathtub upstairs. That is a challenge in its own self. And she's got baby gates up there.
Deal breaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, and I've got to carry.
You're my hero. I mean, really, how you were able to do that.
And kneeling down next to the dudes' toilets where they pee on the floor, that was pretty rough, too. Just knowing that my husband is very tidy in his bathroom habits, but he tells me all dudes pee on the floor. So there I am. I put a towel down, but I'm right there in the heart of it all. That was pretty yucky. And then to know what stuff you need to take upstairs and what stuff you need to leave next to your table as far as products, that was challenging. It really makes a huge difference what kind of a container you use to carry your stuff around so that you're not walking 12,000 steps, which is what I did the majority of last week. And I did 4 doodles in a row, 2 at one house and then 2 separately at 2 other houses. And I was working at the last house, which was in the garage, so it was pretty close, but they didn't move their cars, so I had to walk between their cars with my stuff. And that was not smart. I know, expensive cars, too. But I sat up in the garage, and I was standing there talking to the lady, and she said, well, when is the trailer going to be done? Damn it, I did it again. I got to fix that. So anyway, I worked that whole week, house call, and I realized I didn't have the gray cuff that goes in the end of the dryer, right? That little bit that the nozzle fits in at the end of the dryer.
No, you got to have that for all of the other nozzles to fit on.
Yep,
yeah,
and
I
realized.
Don't have a, yeah, that's for the for the canine. My X powers don't have that, but you've got to have the right nozzles.
Yeah, in this case, it's my very old Lang dryer. It's a nice little 15-amp 2-motor dryer that works really well, but I don't use it. It's my backup dryer, so I didn't have ever had I have never addressed that issue. So I got a new hose. I got a new hose, and it didn't have a cuff on it at all, but it was much more flexible. I was pretty happy with that little improvement there, but no cuff. So I thought, gee, you know, I haven't heard from Clearview RV. Maybe I better call on them and see if they've even looked at the trailer yet, because they could need parts, and they haven't ordered them, and it's not likely they're going to get it fixed. But it was just after 4th of July, and I kind of knew they weren't going to get to it before 4th of July, because people's vacations were probably pending on their vehicles. So I called them and I said, have you looked at the trailer? And he said, no, good idea. Maybe we should get those parts ordered. So I said, yes, maybe you should. You know, that was my first sign of hope there at the beginning of the week. Yes. So then after working a couple days without that stupid cuff, I decided I would just go get the one up at the trailer. I looked everywhere in all my storage areas in the house that I keep my grooming stuff. I swear I had a spare, but I can't find it anywhere. So I drive up to the RV place to get my little cuff out of the trailer, and they've moved the trailer, and it's up by the shop, and there's a guy underneath it. And I thought, I'm not going to bother them. And I did a U-turn, pulled back out, went home, and found something that was going to work. So I was able to cram a piece of tubing in there that worked to put my nozzle on, but I didn't expect much from it. And then I did these 4 doodles, and I was standing there talking to the last doodle lady, and she said, well, when is your trailer going to be done? And I said, I don't know. I said, I didn't expect it before 4th of July, but I did go up there yesterday, and I noticed that they were maybe ordering parts or something. And just at that moment, my phone rang and I looked down and it said Clearview RV. And I got so excited, I flung my phone up into the air and it hit the cement floor in the garage. And luckily it has a case on it because it didn't break. But I was so excited. And I flipped open the phone. I had just started the dog, so I had like an hour and a half to go. Flipped open the phone, and sure enough, the trailer is complete. I'm so happy to have it back. It took me like 4 hours to move back in. And here's the irony of the whole situation. My very first appointment back from work, very first one, was a cat where I had to do it in the house, and I had to haul all my stuff out of the trailer.
Funny.
We had a good laugh at that. So anyway, guys, this is a completely ungroomed, unedited podcast this time because I'm so swamped with trying to catch up from all the big stuff that I couldn't fit in house call in the first week and a half where I didn't think about going house call because I'm brain dead. Anyway, so I am way behind on editing, so I'm going to release this unedited, which you all know is very difficult for me, but I'm going with it. And this is a much better start, Barbara. I'm much happier with this start. So what was your week like?
Well, I had one little thing happen. It appears, it seems as though the grooming place nearest to me, less than a mile, maybe less than a half a mile, has moved way far away. So I'm getting calls. Well, I got a call from one of my regular customers, and she said, and this is my customer who has the short-legged, obese Border Terrier. She doesn't even look like a Border Terrier. She looks like a little piglet on stubs. And she's very cute, but she's going lame, and you know why. It's because she's been too fat for so many years. And anyway, I don't want to get... Anyway, the woman also has a dachshund that I polish. every 6 weeks. And she's a good customer. She's been with me forever, and I love her. She sent me a person. She said, my friend Betty, or whatever her name is going to call you. She has a Pomeranian. Okay, so the lady calls me. She's been going to Bay's Bath up the street from me, and she's the one that tells me that the place is closed and they've moved way, way, way far away. So the woman is in despair. She's been going to this one groomer for like the entire life of this Pomeranian. And then before that, she had two poodles that she took to this place. So she's been going there since it's been there, which might be 20 years. And I keep saying I should stop by and introduce myself.
That's funny.
Oh, has it been that long? Oh, anyway, there you go. So the lady goes on, she explains that she's got a 3-pound Pomeranian. And
oh my God.
That's really tiny. Yeah, she brought it by, and it is a mama's girl. She brought it by, she wanted, you know, I think she just wanted to check out that she knew where I was and that I looked okay. And although, look at me, I don't look okay. I look like the heat has gotten the best of me. But anyway, I didn't look scary. That's interesting. Right. I look scary to myself. Ah! What happened to your face, Barbara? Ah! You look but like old lady.
But non-threatening in the general sense.
But non-threatening in a general sense, and you know how I am. I'm personable, and anyway, she wanted to come check it out, and she wanted me to see the dog. But here's the thing. I asked her, I'm on the phone with her, and she says that she usually drops the dog off and picks it up in an hour or so. So I thought, well, okay, that means it's an easy grooming. That means she's able to kind of do it straight through. And I and she said, well, she gets a bath and her nails done and she gets like trimmed all over. So immediately I see this like boo trim. You remember that trim? It's kind of, yeah, the internet sensation of 3 years ago, this little Pomeranian and this scissor trim. I said, okay, so she's getting kind of a boo trim. And I said, and I thought, oh, good, I can practice my scissoring skills and all of this. And I said, well, what were you paying?
Uh-oh. I knew there was a hitch in this story coming along.
Yeah, what do you think she was paying?
$50?
Pomeranian scissored trim. $25.
Uh-oh.
$25. And I said, uh-oh, there's going to be a, you're going to get a sticker shot.
Oh, boy.
Because
no
I cannot match that price. She said, well, I figured it was going to cost me more because she's raised her prices 3 times and never raised them for me. And I said, yep. But yeah. It's going to be, I can't do it. I can't do it for 25. I can't do it for 35.
I couldn't do that for 50.
I $55. I told her.
At least.
She came in. That's where we got into the thing about, well, she's going to bring the dog in because I just couldn't figure out how low I could go. Do you know what
right.
I mean? I didn't really even want to do that. Go as low as you can go. That's not where I'm at right now. I'm like, how much can I make on this? How high can I go?
It's right.
Really no shit. How high? How much can I charge this person and get away with it? That's
yep.
kind of my pricing model right now because I need the money and I do not need to do more dogs. To make that money, right?
Right.
So
you can't.
She came in, and the little dog was kind of a nervous wreck in her arms and clinging to mommy and not particularly wanting to greet me. And, you know, I assumed that since she was told that the dog behaved well, that she's going to behave well. But, you know, either she's doing just a lousy trim or I... She just loved fooling around with that little dog so much that she just kept it, you know, low like that. And I just said, well, I really want to help you and I really want to groom your dog, but it's going to have to be 55. And she bought it.
Oh, good.
She bought it and I did tell her that, you know, I'm committed to doing a low volume, very personalized, kind of laid back service. And this is, and I have to have a little higher prices in order to be able to do that. And, she seemed to understand and she went for it. But boy, that's a jump for this old lady, big jump. And, we have an appointment for a week after next, which is my first opening. And we'll see, but I expect to have, maybe some other inquiries. You know, I'm not paying any attention to my shop phone these days. It has my cell phone number. If they're really interested, they need to pursue me a little bit and call the cell phone number. I think I'm going to drop that phone altogether, but it's in so many places that I'm afraid I would, that people would call that number and get nothing, you know, so that's what's keeping the number.
Right,
so
I
anyways,
totally get it.
So anyway, that was kind of the high point, the high point of a fairly drudgery week. Yvonne is back. She's wearing her mask, although she's pulling a nose out.
I see that a lot.
So I saw a cartoon that I wanted to forward to her, but I know it would be insulting, but it's for men more, because men right. are the ones who think that it's more manly to not wear a mask. So the yep. cartoon, it shows a face with the nose hanging out, and then it shows a pelvis with the penis hanging out over the ridge of the pants, of the underwear.
That's funny.
this is like this. It's just so I just have to keep working on her about that. But we talked about both of us getting tested again, and she talked about she thinks maybe she's had it because she was very sick in January.
I remember she stayed home.
Yeah, she stayed home, which was very unusual. She was just, like, really miserable, and it was, like, more than an average flu, she said. And she had had her flu shot. So she's wondering now, and I said, well, that's when you need the antibody test, but you need to work with your doctor and see if you can't get that one. I mean, she's more likely to be able to get an antibody test in Tucson because we're home of the University of Arizona, where they're doing research on creating the antibody testing. So
we're working hard on the vaccine over here in Washington.
On the vaccine, yeah.
Yeah, well, at the University of Washington. Actually, a bunch of different work, because we do have a lot of bio labs here working on that. So we've got one test, what do you call it, viral, the scientific test going on right now on one of the vaccines that looks very promising through Fred Hutch. So, yeah, I've got hope. I think that we'll...
I've got hope, but I live in dread. I have to be honest. I live in dread. Sometimes it hits me late at night as I'm going to sleep, and sometimes it hits me in the morning when I wake up and I think, oh my God, I don't want to go anywhere. You cannot hide from the statistics. You would have to, like, not watch any news ever. And then it would come on your phone anyway. So Arizona's in bad shape. And part of the reason that we're in bad shape is that we are a highly, it's not just Republican, but we are gun-toting, authority-resisting cowboy people here. And it's a cowboy culture, and it's machismo.
We've got a lot of mask wearers here. We're pretty compliant with the mask wearing.
Well, ours is getting better since our mayor decreed that we're supposed to. And there's some very serious signage up in some of the bigger stores that you go to.
We cannot serve someone without a mask. That's the law here. If you don't have a mask on, the business can't serve you. And if the business serves you, you could get in trouble. But I don't think they're enforcing it because they would have to be everywhere. And that's just crazy. And because of the privacy laws, you can't ask people why they don't have a mask on because it could be a medical issue. So it's, you know, on one hand, great.
They're still trying
on the other
to get
hand,
tough.
It's unenforceable.
Yeah, I know. Well, but it does encourage people... and there's always going to be some resistors.
True.
But our mask wearing has improved, but it's still so far behind, and that's one of the main reasons why we have this late surge. We are way over. I remember in the beginning when they closed us down, I said, I don't want to shut my shop. I said to myself, I don't want to shut my shop until we've got like 2,000 cases or more in Tucson. Well, now we've got like 10,000 and daily. And now we're open.
Time will tell. Hey, do you want to know what we're talking about today?
What's on our plate? Yeah, what's on our plate? Let's get off this virus shit.
Let's do it. We're going to play a rousing game of what would Barbara use?
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm ready.
And then we're going to talk about salicylic acid in the ear cleaners and the dangers around that. And then the last subject we didn't get to last week, hopefully we'll get to this week, which is what's on your client haircut cards. So, Barbara, let's take a break and then come back with our first segment, which is the what would...
Okay, unedited.
Which is, what would Barbara use? You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. This is a game of what will Barbara use? Because I saw some Facebook questions and they looked like it would be fun to answer. And furthermore, the person who is asking these two questions on Facebook that we're going to use for this segment is our newest Patreon donation person. So, Stacy D, thank you very much for your donation on Patreon. And if you guys want us to answer your question, you too can become a donator on Patreon.
Donate.
And if
I'm,
right. And if I'm,
we ought to stick by that. We ought to only answer Patreon questions. That'll get them to contribute.
Yes, yeah, there you go. It'll kill the dialogue on the Facebook group, though, so I don't know how much we want to do that. I think, though, special access to the people, they get first of the line for questions if you're on Patreon. Make sure you let me know you're a Patreon PAC member, and I will put your question right at the top of the list, and we'll get to it on the show, we promise. So anyway, let's start out with Stacy D's question about a rough collie porous coat. I'm going to read you the question off of Facebook, and I'm going to tap dance here while I get to it. And it says, here we go. Next week, I'm grooming a large rough collie that I have on a four-week rotation. His coat is always very dirty and he has bad skin. Parentheses, getting better since they started Cytopoint injections, unparentheses. He is always super tangled, very porous hair, and I've been using Best Shot Ultramax 3-step system on him. It takes me about an hour to get him clean and conditioned before I even start drying. Thankfully, he's a good boy and does everything I ask. I've ordered the stuff, neutral protein filler, and results rinse, and they should all be here before his appointment. Can I use all three of those together, or should I do the protein and silicone and then the results? What about a bath bomb? Also, I groom his little sister on the same rotation. Her coat is much better than his, and she doesn't have any skin issues. She doesn't need the protein, but I think adding results rinse is a good idea. Am I right? Thanks, Groom Pod. Whew. Okay, well, I botched part of that, but I'm not editing it, so I'm letting that go. Let it go, Susie. All right, Barbara, it's all yours.
All right, and I have already written some responses on the Groom Pod discussion group. So I've got some things in writing. You know, it's an she's got an interesting combination of undercoat, matted coat, bad skin, and greasy coat. Okay, so, you know, like, so that's interesting because you got to be careful, especially the bad skin. You need to be more careful with the bad skin because skin is a barrier, and when it's bad, it ain't so good a barrier. So you need to watch what you put on that bad skin. And frankly, I wouldn't use... And because the coat is dry, I wouldn't use the show season results rinse on this coat at this time.
Okay, because it would dry it out further?
I think it will dry it out further, and I think it might not be comfortable on the broken skin.
Okay.
You know, I just think that... You know, I would like to have, it doesn't have to be a perfectly healthy skin barrier, but it needs to be more healthy than what I think she's dealing with, especially if the dog's getting shots and all of that. The purpose of the you know, like one of the things that we like about the results rinse is that it's acidic, quite acidic, and it does tone skin and tone the hair, and it's kind of a clarifier, and it leaves the hair more crisp and scissorable and more actually like a rough coated collie would be. But at this point, when she's dealing with tangles and grease and broken skin, I think we're gonna just like hold off on the results rinse for now.
How about for the little sister with the good coat? Would you use it on a healthy collie?
The little sister.
Yeah, she's doing the little sister dog that has a healthy, regular, rough-coated collie coat. And she said, would you recommend using results rinse on that?
I didn't see that. Well,
maybe not your first choice then.
Yeah, it depends on your grooming... Your grooming goal.
Okay?
Grooming goal. If you want to return the collie coat to its natural texture and you don't have a lot of de-shedding or detangling to do, the results rinse is a good choice. There again, the acidic nature of that results rinse helps to crisp up the coat, and it helps to close the hair cuticle and tighten the skin. So it's a good thing when everything's healthy. If you're grooming, so if you're doing a regular collie that you've, you know, like so, but you wouldn't want to use it on a twice a year molting collie. If the coat is molting and you want to get rid of as much loose coat as you can, you just want to go with conditioner and add a shot or two of the stuff.
Okay.
Because you want as much slip in the coat as you can get, right? And you
yes.
want... and there's just one other thing is that, and another thing that you can do when you're using a recirculator, I just love it because I bartend. It's bartend bathing and I own it. You can put, as a final rinse, you can use results rinse and put a shot is an ounce of diluted the stuff in the results rinse, and you'll have more silicone in there, so it will add a little bit of slip that way.
Okay. All right, let's take a left turn and go back over to the main drag, which is the bad coat, mixed conditions, rough, porous, that one. And most interesting to me is the concept of using the protein builder.
Okay, so the protein filler, she was cool to pick up on that because the protein filler, the neutral protein filler that I use that I get from, I get it from Amazon now because Sally's is only selling it in 4 ounce sizes and you need more than that. The protein filler is a heavy duty protein liquid that is used for hairdressers to equalize the porosity of the hair before applying color so that they'll have less, you know, like the problem with damaged hair and porous hair and color is that the color will grab deeper and deeper parts of the hair where it's damaged. So it can, the color doesn't come out nice and smooth and even.
I'm remembering my pink hair disaster of last year where it grabbed all my damaged hair and came out fluorescent pink, and then the rest of my hair is black and dark, and it was very interesting looking. I hated it. I hated every bit of it. It was very uneven, and yeah, because of damaged porous hair and then not so damaged hair.
Yeah, well, the protein filler is something that I discovered just because of my label reading and my ability to see that, oh, what this is a bunch of proteins. Like, oh, good. This is going to be a good product. And it's very similar in action to the Chris Christensen foaming volume protein products that cost a lot more. So the thing of it is, however, it's very thin, so it's, you know, you might even try frothing it. I just thought of that.
How do you do it? What is it? How do you use that product?
Well, you use it like you would use the Chris Christensen product. You can use it to, in between the shampoo and conditioner, to fill in some of the rough spots of the porous coat.
Does it have a leave-on time?
Oh, you want to leave it on for a little while. Yeah, because there you are, you're trying to absorb some of that. You're not just doing a flat surface film. You're trying to give it a couple of minutes to actually absorb into the hair shaft. And it's also what I found kind of as a byproduct of using the protein treatments is that a protein treatment often helps the skin.
Oh, okay. Well, that's important.
Okay, so it just kind of helps the skin. So with a very healthy coat, you can even do shampoo, protein filler, and then just a rinse of diluted silicone, like the stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so then you're adding protein and silicone together. Now, the Best Shot products, one of their secrets of what they use that makes it so effective, protein and silicone together. You know, oh. All right? So, but you can break things apart and use much more protein when you use the protein filler.
So is this something you would do every 4 weeks for the dog, or would you rotate it in?
Yeah, I would rotate it in. It's going to stick there for a while. It's going to last for a little while.
On those off weeks?
Oh, I don't know.
Gentler?
It's all a game. It's all a journey. It's all a learning. It's all a big experiment.
That's for sure.
It's all a big experiment. You ask me like I'm some like expert. Well, I don't know, but this is what I try, and this is why I try it, and this is how I use it. You know.
Okay. Like, so she asks about bath bombs.
Bath bomb, well, you know, like, here's the thing. She's spending more than an hour in the tub now. She's going to add a bath bomb. She's got another hole. You know, I hate to do that to her. You know,
right.
I I do think bath bombs do sometimes do a nice clarifying pre-bath treatment. There comes a time where you don't want to do too much at once. You know, I would not add all these new things and a bath bomb. You know, like you can try a bath bomb later.
So you said something very interesting on the thread. And in this case, she's using a type of recirculator called a super sudsor that they put in the Wagon Tails vans. But it is not exactly the same as the regular recirculators like the HydroSurge Power Bather or, in Barbara's case, the Bathing Beauty that she sells. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's and the key is in the name, sudsor.
Right.
So I figured as much. I said, you know, this is going to be a shampoo application kind of, excretes sounds nasty, but what comes out of the spray is foam. Foamy stuff comes out of the spray. Spray high foam, and the dog is all sudsy.
And, right, as opposed to the ones that we use, which actually it's more watery with the surfactants mixed in
coming out. Because actually in the Bathing Beauty or these other kinds of pump in the tub systems, the suds don't go through the screen. They stay in the recirculating water solution, and so you're actually rinsing as you are cleaning. So, you know, the final rinse is practically nothing. And in many cases, you could actually skip the final rinse, depending on what kind of shampoo you're using and what your situation is and if you're in a huge hurry. You know, because
sometimes,
with Bathing Beauty, you're diluting that shampoo somewhere around the 250-to-1 ratio. And running it over and over and over into the coat. And it's the over and over and over that does the cleaning, and it just like removes the dirt. And but with that super sudsor, it looks to me like you're not going to remove the dirt until you rinse the dog. That you're just sudsing it up, you know? I don't know to what extent. I don't see the dirty water, but of course, in the way they have it set up, you don't see the dirty water. And when you have that much foam, it would have to be really filthy to color the foam. Because it's... Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to her second.
I just noticed, and I thought, well, no wonder it's taking her an hour in the tub. She has to rinse, 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 rinse all that foam out of her dog.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And so let's move on to her second question, the second Patreon question by Stacy D. And she said, and this one I actually answered online, and you said I did it right, but I'm going to read it anyway and we can talk about it. She says, I have one of my favorite regulars. She's a senior golden retriever with an oil problem. I've tried Le Pooch F&T, Straight Best Shot Ultramax, conditioner first and after, and most successfully cornstarch, letting it sit on her while I do her nails and ears, plus Gasp Dawn as the first wash followed by Ultramax. Today I'm trying Grime Time for the first time. I also have a show season sample pack, and I was thinking of doing Grime Time down her back, where she is so greasy, and a degreasing shampoo, a light conditioner, maybe results rinse. What do you guys think? So what would you do with that one?
Oh, my head is a buzzing. So, well, you know what? One of the things, and I talked about this kind of later in the thread, one of the things I've had success with dogs that have a greasy coat, and I'm thinking back about, I've had about two really smelly, greasy wire fox terriers. They come in and they just stink. and they're hard to get clean, and even afterwards their coat still felt greasy. Well, I learned to use a benzoyl peroxide shampoo. There's a lot of them out there, but benzoyl peroxide flushes the outer follicle, like the pores, right? Where the hair is emerging from the skin, flushes the excess sebum out of that. So it's kind of a deep degreaser. You call it a degreaser, but it's been studied by veterinary science to flush the pores. So sometimes if you can get that adjusted on the surface, the dog doesn't keep producing the sebum because it's better balanced. And this business about that, if you use a degreaser on an oily coat, you're going to have a more oily coat. That's not necessarily true. That is a reason to stop degreasing once you've solved the problem. I would not want to use a benzoyl peroxide shampoo every month on a dog. It would dry the coat out terribly. But if you want to get the pores clean, that's a thought. It's a suggestion. It's something to try. And I think probably the results rinse is a good application after that, after the bath. I think you nailed it, Susie.
Woo! So what I said was use Grime Time down the back of the dog, hand apply it down that greasy strip, and then run it through the recirculator as well. So give the dog a whole bath, right, and then if it didn't quite get it, then follow up with something like she used Dirty Dog, or I think it's whatever show season Dirty Dog.
That combination is good. I just tried this week the Eye Groom Clarifying Shampoo.
Me too. I loved it.
I loved it too. I thought it was an excellent cleaner, and I used it diluted through the Bathing Beauty, and it cleaned very well, smelled good, and then I used it full strength like I would the Grime Time on the white feet and furnishings down around the ankle, and I got great results on everything that I did. So I'm definitely adding the Eye Groom Clarifying to that, my cleaning regimen, my cleaning toolbox.
I also, I finally got back to my ability to continue to test my Eye Groom, and I tested the charcoal one. I liked that. I did it, I hand applied it to a Maltese mix that I did, actually the one that I put the picture up of that on the grooming table with the pointy toes, that one I used the charcoal Eye Groom on. But then I also got to use the de-shedding, which I liked the de-shedding shampoo as well. So I'm getting there. Of course, I've only tried everything like once, but there's another week coming up, and I have a lot of grooms.
I used the de-shedding slash detangling conditioner on a couple of coats, and I had mixed results. It really added drying time, but it did leave my Maltese really nice and soft, and she's not matting up fast again. And so, and that's an issue because, that's important because little Leah does not like to be groomed or fussed with. So I'm really glad to see that I'm getting a nice lasting untangled coat from using that was the clarifying shampoo and the de-shedding detangling conditioner together. And the only the gripe I have with the conditioner is that it's so thick that you can't squeeze it out of the bottle. Definitely had to take the cap off.
I'm gonna the recirculator get back to didn't love it either.
Yeah. I'm gonna get back to her. I didn't try doing it through the recirculator, but
it just clogged up. It just didn't run through the screen.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yep. Okay. So one more thing she had on that question was about doing the conditioner and then the wash on a greasy coat. I really have had zero success with that. What you've done a little more playing with the conditioner before the washing and the conditioner as a wash, right? Remember back then when you were doing the Wen system?
Right, right. I've fooled around with that. You know, there are groomers that are using the condition shampoo, condition protocol always. I just don't find that it always is that helpful. I think that if you've got a badly damaged coat and you need to use a strong shampoo, that it might benefit by some protection from the conditioner first. But I don't think the conditioner themselves are very good cleansers. And I think that conditioning every dog before you bathe it is just a waste of a step, that you should apply that step more individually.
Okay, let's take a break and come back with our back to school segment, which is another Facebook question. All right?
All right.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Laura Judy asks, Laura Judy writes, fuck, now I have to edit that. I'll be in there anyway because I'll be putting in a commercial. Laura Judy writes, B-Bird, I just listened to a podcast that says salicylic acid is not good for the ears. Just checked my ear cleaner, and of course it's in there, over half a gallon's worth. It's the last ingredient, and it says 0.1%. I'm debating throwing it out. Should I? What's the deal, Barbara?
Well, salicylic acid is established to be ototoxic. That is toxic to ears. And it does that by damaging the little teeny hairs inside the ear that are part of the hearing process. However, the 0.1% means 1/10 of a percent. And so that's probably not enough. It's probably not enough to cause any immediate harm, especially if you're not letting it get down inside the ears, but you're using it as an outer ear cleaner. It's used in many places because it does indeed degrease well. So, you know, it was established as an ear cleaner ingredient before they realized how ototoxic salicylic acid can be, okay? But I wouldn't buy an ear cleaner with salicylic acid in it, but I think you probably can go ahead and use this up. And, you know, I don't think you need to flush the whole half a gallon.
Speaking of flushing, I don't think I would use it as an ear flush, right? Generally, what we do is we put it on a cotton ball or a cotton pad and we swab the exterior of the ear. I don't think there's any risk at all in that. So use it up because of that. Just don't cup the ear, flush the ear, and squish it around like you would do with the Miracle Ear Elixir or the vet requested ear wash, that kind of a thing.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, on that? Yeah.
On that? That is excellent. All right. Boom. We're done. Next subject. All right. We're going to get to it. I'm so happy. Okay. Quick break. We'll be back with our At the Table segment.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grime time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. And here we are at the table, Barbara. I'm so excited to finally get to the table. We rarely make it to that third segment. I want to ask you about your haircut cards, which is kind of a joke alluding to the Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon had his barber went in the hospital and he went to the barber shop and they said, well, we don't have haircut records. And it made me laugh because we do have haircut records big time. I mean, I write very detailed haircut records, if you will. And I know you have some haircut records that you keep. Do you do it electronically or do you do it on paper?
Well, here's what happened to me, is that I kept a card file for years and years and years. And then I went online with my customer base and my reminder system and all of that. And although it has room in there, I mean, you can even post a picture of the dog, of your grooming, so that you can look back and see what you did. And it has room for notes and all of that. But the truth is, I don't go in and out of that computer all day long. I just don't, and we've had issues in the past of we use the iPad. That's all I've got down there right now, the iPad or my phone. We use the iPad to make up charges on the Square, and sometimes the Square doesn't want to reconnect after you've gone to the other site, and, you know, just like web issues and that kind of stuff. And so as a result, I stopped keeping notes on my grooming, and now I'm using so many different things and trying out so many different things that I really hate it when I can't recall what I did on a customer's dog when they call me back 2 weeks later and ask me, and there I am. So I've reinstituted my grooming cards.
So but what I'm you're not, saying is we're on opposite ends of this, right with the weather, right? You're hot, I'm cold. We're on opposite ends. I'm overwriting stuff down, and you aren't writing anything down.
You probably are over. Yeah, you're probably overwriting, and I'm underwriting. But I have reinstituted. I bought a new file box. It's lavender, and it has a, you don't have to pull out the drawer, which is the kind, I mean, I had this metal file box from 1977, right? So this is a more up, this is a lighter weight, and it has a clear plastic top that you just lift up and get your cards out. And so I have now I'm making up new cards, but I'm not doing all of the information that I would put on the, in the computer. I
may add that in
later. Well, I put the dog's names and I'm filing this under the dog's name. And the reason I'm doing that is because the assistant will be able to find the card. Okay?
That's important.
And it doesn't, you know, like, my computer system is good because I can put in the dog's name and it will pull up all the dogs named Fido, right?
Right, right.
And so I want to stay with that because sometimes the last name of the people, if you don't use it a lot, it's going to disappear at an important moment. So I'm filing by dog's name. I'm including the person's name on there. I'm putting down the date and the products that I used, especially if they're like a little different combination of anything, and I'm putting down the size combs and basic trim description that I'm doing, you know.
Do you use abbreviations?
Oh yeah, I make them up as I go along.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So well, if you're doing a smoothie, what do you put down?
Oh, a smoothie is a smoothie. I would use okay. the term smoothie.
I
think that's what, A-O, all over?
I just go A-O. Like, yeah, I go 10 A-O. I would never do a 10. 3 A-O or yellow A-O. I use a lot of the colors because it's
see,
easier for me to grab the
to
comb.
Me, A-O to me means everything, including the ears and the face and the tail. So
yes, that would me too. Me too. And yeah, if it's not that, if I'm leaving the ears and the tail or something, then I would do it more KC, a kennel cut, where there's some adjustment to it. It's just not take everything off. Because if I'm, especially if I'm taking feathering off, it's an AO. That is my clue to myself that I'm not leaving any breeches or any feathering, that I'm taking it all down. Whereas if I'm doing a kennel cut, I'm leaving some styling additives on there, if you will. Susie styling anyway.
Yeah, well, that's all legitimate. You're good.
Okay.
Do you good. KC is good. I use C/C. Little C set slash C means C slash C means comfort clip.
Okay.
Comfort clip is, you know, it's the same as a kennel cut.
All right. Cool. And then so you're going to include products in this just in case there's a reaction, right? And so you know what you did for the next time, what worked good or what didn't work.
Right. Right, and I always put loved, I put a heart if I loved it, I put, did not love it, I didn't, sometimes I've just put did not like the result. you know, because that's sometimes that happens.
Right.
And you have to kind of look at how much you used or what you used. And you might not even tell the people that you know, because I've found out that if I don't point out something to the people, they're likely not to notice it as much as I notice it. So,
oh, totally. You know. It goes right past.
Yeah, I know. It goes right past them anyway. So, you know, like, I make a note of it, and then if they bring it up, I say, oh, yeah, I didn't like that result either. And let's not, as though it was partly their fault, let's not use those same products again.
I have always had a pen fetish. I've had a pen fetish since I was a little girl. And I have like all these different colors of highlighters. And I am big with the highlighters and arrows. And do not cut the eyelashes. Do not shorten the ears too short. And especially don't do this haircut again with a big highlighter so I never screw that stuff up. Also, a different color highlighter to remember, don't put any smells on the dog. Because that's, you know, for me, I like the air freshener dog.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, I make big issues like that. But that's really, I do put all the client's card stuff. The client stuff also on the card. Now, I have too many different systems where I have everybody's stuff entered. I have everything entered on Mogo. That's the software that I use for my scheduling. I use the free version of Mogo, and it's perfectly acceptable for me. It does everything I want it to do. And I think it has a spot for me to put haircut information on there, but I like to write it because I am not going to pull up my phone, make sure I have internet, and go into that file every single time. And I want to write down what products I use in case there's a reaction. Although I've not had a reaction, I could. There could be a reaction, and I want to be prepared for it. Also, I do change haircuts from winter to summer. I do make a lot of adaptations, so I need to make sure I've got that written down so that I can repeat it. Because I looked at my haircuts when I used to do the holiday pictures, and you can look at my holiday picture of the dog when it's a year old and of the dog when it's 10 years old. It's basically the same haircut. So I like to be able to produce that for people. That's part of what they can count on with me, is it's going to have uneven ears when it's 2 or when it's 10. So it's all good.
How about the price? Do you put the price on there?
I do. I put the price on. That came from when I was at the vet industry. The first guy who had the best record-keeping system I ever worked for, he made us put down the price and how they paid. I don't care how they paid. I just put the price down. What about you?
Yeah, I have to do that. I just realized yesterday that I have to do that, because what happens is that I've been ending up being inconsistent with people about their price, usually $5 back and forth. And I, like yesterday, I did my 2 scissored poodles, and I remembered, and I gypped myself out of $10 because I went back to the $75 each price. I asked her, how much do I usually charge you? Which is just so unprofessional to have to do.
I do the same thing.
So how much do I usually charge you? She said, oh, I don't remember, because she doesn't care.
Right.
And so I went back. I said, well, let's just do, you know, $150. And then I got home and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I raised her price 4 months ago. So I got to write it on the card, and that will also be a place where Yvonne can find it again, because she's not going to go into the computer when I'm not there, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
And for me, everybody's got a different price, and I do kind of keep track of the prices that I'm currently charging, but I like to see how much I raised them the last time, when I raised them. All that is written on the card in that price column. So, yeah, that's all there.
Yeah. I think I'm going to put mine, like, along the bottom. So I'm going to put the current price in the left-hand lower corner, and then when I change the price, I will slash that out and put the new price. And then if I change the price again, I'll slash that out and put in the new price. And that'll be in the front of the card. So even if the card turns over and, you know, 6 months from now you change the price, it will be on the front of the card so somebody else can find it.
When do you fill out your card?
I fill out my cards, I just started this week.
Oh, that's right.
But what I'm doing, here's what I'm doing. My card file before was on my front counter. And I would pull the card out. I would go to the front and pull the card out. And then I would go to the front and put the card away. Well, now I've got the card file on the top of the cabinet behind my chair. So I just have to turn and get the card file. And I can get it without leaving my station. I can get to the dog's card file. So I can update it and I just pull the card file, the current card, and put it on the shelf right beside the file. And then when I finish, I put in the last things, you know, the last points.
I'll share with you what I do. When I'm at home, when I do my client calls at the end of the night, I pull the next day's cards because I'm not taking the card catalog with me. It's a recipe size, minor, the bigger sized, what do you call them? Eight, they're not 5x7, I guess, would be the
4x6. Whatever the,
yeah, 4x6. That's it. Well, I also have a 4x6 clipboard, a small size clipboard. And I clip those cards on the night before in the order in which I'm going to the houses. When I finish the groom, I fill out the card, I go to the next card, and then I'm not forgetting to dig the cards out of the file and handing a dog in because I'm busy and not filling out the cards. I actually fill out the card and make the next appointment right there with the clipboard with me with the cards for the whole day, but with the one I'm working on top so that I do it in order. Right. But that's just the way I do
that's
it because I'm mobile.
That's good. Yeah. Well, that's good. For being mobile, that's excellent. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's call that topic done. And that was a good show. I actually enjoyed it. I didn't have to write too much. Of course, I had the card thing written for like 3 weeks, 2 weeks now anyway.
And meanwhile, I've gotten my card file thing together and I'm starting to do it again. And I'm very happy with myself that I'm starting to keep these records again.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
It's giving me a more confidence because, you know, it gets harder as you age to recall all these small facts about each dog that you're grooming.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm not even your age yet.
Yeah.
All right, Barbara. So what are you doing later today? I've got 2 King Charles Spaniels in way out of my area. But I go there because the candy store is there. The best candy store in the whole wide world. And I'm going to go in and get my expensive little treats. And I'm going to reward myself for driving over there and playing with this new puppy that they got. And then they're a perfect adult King Charles Spaniel that they have. So it's going to be a good afternoon. My horse is going to get shoes in about 20 minutes. That'll be good. That's my day. And then I don't think I have a day off for like 3 weeks, but it's all good. I've got some light days in there, but it's good. It's nice to have the trailer back.
It's just really too hot for me to do anything. Definitely too hot to move around my house. It's too hot to stay out here and work on my computer. So I think that I'm probably going to be sitting up in the bed with the little icy window AC, portable AC at my feet, which is making my bed this nice little icy oasis. And I'll probably be sitting up there with various drinks. Not all alcoholic, but maybe towards the afternoon we'll have a cocktail.
Excellent.
And dig into some Netflix and call this a recreational afternoon.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, I see that behind me in the picture behind my webcam that the sun has come out. So that alone will make it a beautiful day.
Yeah.
The raindrops are glistening on the maple and cedar trees in the backyard. It's very beautiful. I'm looking forward to it. And gee whiz, I get my rolling office back and life is good. Anyway, let's do it again next week, though. What do you say?
I'll be here.
Good job. Unedited podcast in the bank. Excellent deal. All right, everybody, remember, go to our website, thegroompod.com, and click on the Cherry Brook link and support the show or become a Patreon member of the pack. We love it all. Thank you very much. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Please take care of yourselves.
Wash your
Bye
hands.
Now.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.